Well, good morning, everybody. Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live. It's Monday. It's Bucks week. We're back at it. That's right. The Packers' bye weekend has come and gone. And while there's a Monday Night Football game today, the Packers begin in earnest their preparation for their showdown with the Buccaneers on Sunday afternoon. They do have practice today, which they wouldn't normally have on a game day after a game, something like that. They will be on the practice field. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur later this afternoon, and away we go. Of course, I'm sure a lot of people stayed up to watch the Vikings blow another game, which is always hilarious and fun. And I know I saw people trying to root for the Vikings. Are you people insane? You always root for the Vikings to lose, unless it's like week 17 and the Packers needed to get into the playoffs. I don't hear about anybody rooting for the Vikings. Good Lord. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Zimmer not kicking the field goal to go up eight. Beautiful. I love the call to go for it. Didn't love the play call, but I think it's a fine play call. Obviously, a lot of people doing the thing Twitter does where they clip a one, literally one frame of video and go, oh, he should have ran there, which of course, that's easy to say after the fact, looking at it rather than actually watching the clip. And actually, I think it's much more on the guard missing that block. But actually, the call to go for it. Here's my thing. I'm all for it. I think, like, put it away. Yeah, absolutely. But on the television broadcast, they kept talking about, oh, the math is informing him, or the math tells him to do this, or by the math, he's doing the right thing. But the problem, they never acknowledged the fact that the whole reason the math existed as it was in that moment was because Zimmer didn't go for two earlier. Instead, he kicked the extra point. If he had gone for two, either way, would have set up a much more delineated end. But especially if you'd gone for two and gotten it, it would have been academic. But these are the decisions these guys make, and that's what makes it so fun, is everybody gets to sit there and second guess. But hey, don't tell me you looked at either one of those teams and thought, oh no, because not for a second do I believe that either of those teams should scare Packers fans at all. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. Shout out to Larry Center's Euchre season. Thank you, Nathan. That train is never late. The Seahawks defense is terrible. They have to outscore everybody. I mean, they don't have a pass rush. That's their biggest problem. Don't forget, though, last night they didn't have Jamal Adams. He makes a monster difference for that entire defense. And you saw them starting to send guys, whether it was safeties or linebackers, to try and generate pressure. And that's what they've got to do because they don't have anybody who can win one-on-one up front. And that has been Pete Carroll's MO pretty much his entire time in Seattle, is play that cloud coverage, usually a cover three, and then rush with four. But if you can't get home with four, you got to start blitzing. And I thought Kubiak actually did a nice job of countering that in the second half as the game went on. He knew they were going to be sending people. And so he started running kind of levels concepts with crossers and tight ends and backs going across where those backers or safeties would have been. So that's the chess game. That's what's a lot of fun. But yeah, the Seahawks, the Packers are going to put up 40 if they ever have to face them. Zero doubt. What does coach have against blinking? Bryce, that's a great question. I'll have to ask him next time he's on transplants. Preston, thanks for the super chat. How many chips do you think we'd have if we had a duo of Rodgers and Calvin Johnson? I don't know, man. I mean, look at the Super Bowl champions in the last 2 decades. How many of them have premier insane wide receivers? Many of them have great quarterbacks. But how many, championships has that netted the Falcons with Julio? And I understand Matt Ryan's not Aaron Rodgers, but he did win an MVP in 2016. They still don't have a single championship. So, I mean, it's tantalizing to think about it, no doubt about it. But I mean, wide receivers, more often than not, they're not the key championships. If Graham catches a TD, Tanyan should dominate. Brandy, I think that is the transitive property for Packers fans everywhere, no doubt about it. The 2010 Packers had some pretty good wide receivers. They did, Joey. Absolutely. Not a question about it. They also had 15 guys on IR. And they also had a in his prime athletic Aaron Rodgers. They also had a running game that came to the fore just in time. A lot of different pieces there. Oh, and they also had an excellent defense. That also helps. James Ferguson. Wow. Thanks for the super chat. Very nice of you, buddy. Enjoy a bye week beverage, Nags. Well deserved. Thank you so much. It's very, very kind of you. This is a messed up season. Alex Smith comes back and Dak leaves. SMH. Yeah. I mean, the Alex Smith thing is amazing. I'm still kind of in shock that he was out there yesterday. And yeah, the Dak injury just sucks, man. That is just the worst. You hate to see it. Prayers up for Dak if you are the praying type. And hopefully he is out there sooner rather than later. I know he's already had the surgery. He had it almost immediately after leaving the stadium. Hopefully he's back at it and throwing footballs, if not for the Cowboys, for somebody. Did Aaron Rodgers really retire the belt celebration? I mean, that's what he says. I think we've seen him do it, though, in the last 2 years. I want to, if my memory serves, just like a mock one, maybe a little, a tiny one. But yeah, that's the word. That's what he says. Travis Fulham is balling out, Rick. No doubt about it. Can't wait for him to become the new Taysom Hill. That's right. Taysom Hill 2.0. Travis Fulham coming to the internet near you. Packers fans and media alike. Can't wait for the 2,000-word column in the Green Bay Press Gazette whenever the Packers face the Eagles later this year. We'll have a huge "The One That Got Away" column. Just, you know, take the words out that mention Taysom Hill and insert the Travis Fulham. I'm exaggerating kind of, but, you know, it's great to watch him ball out, though, man. He's a fun guy to watch. Do you feel good about the Packers O-line? So far, seems good. Dan, I feel great about the Packers O-line. I said this last week. One of the big reasons and the big keys for their success is the offensive line and the quarterback. And everyone worrying about wide receivers and guys getting injured, as long as they have five eligibles out there who can at least produce, they don't have to be stars. But as long as that offensive line is playing and intact and Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, this team is going to put up buku points. Yeah, there's zero question about it. Now, to me, the one area where I would look at is right tackle, because I think Billy Turner is obviously still playing through his knee injury, and it is very apparent in comparison to the job Rick Wagner was doing. And I'm not quite sure why they're insisting on throwing Turner out there over Wagner when I think Wagner was clearly playing, and it's not worlds better, but he was clearly playing better. And I'm pretty sure that Turner's still feeling the effects of that injury. So I don't know what the thinking is there. Maybe I'll ask Coach about it today, and he'll give me some really nice diplomatic answer that doesn't really touch on the subject. Did you catch Lane's beer brats and spotted cow, James? Oh, thing of beauty. Mwah, made me miss Wisconsin. I hate it. Can you compare Big Bob's skill set versus Kittle's? I mean, it's funny because I think they're similar as far as being receivers, working in the open field. But when it comes to blocking, Kittle is just in another world. Obviously, Big Bob has done a great job kind of improving that part of his game. He needs to continue to improve. And I think actually most of it is probably, I would give it to technique rather than, you know, core strength or anything like that. I think eventually, if Tanyan keeps working at it, I don't think he's ever going to get to that level. But I do think he can improve. He can still continue to improve and get to something similar. He's never going to own people the way Kittle does. But that to me is the biggest difference. Receiving wise, working downfield, finding spots in the zone, being able to create separation. I think Tanya can do all of that. There's zero question. It's just the difference. The main difference would be in the blocking aspects. And, you know, that's no knock on Tanya. Like I said, I think he's worked on it a lot, and I think he's gotten much better from what we saw earlier in his Packers career, but it's just night and day. Kittle absolutely erases people, and Tanya's just not there yet. 250 people in here and only 20 likes on this live stream. Joseph, tell them what's what. That's right. Hit like, hit subscribe. People, what's funny is I watch some YouTubers with my daughters and they're like, they're so blatant, like crass about, you know, every 30 seconds, like, hit like, hit subscribe, blah, blah, blah. And I just always forget to do it until the end. So I need people like Joseph keeping people honest. Randy, yes, face mask on Williams. Two times not called. I mean, what was with Atlanta consistently tackling helmets? That was so bizarre. There was three plays. There were twice on Williams and one other one on, I can't remember who it was, but three times they went for people's helmets. I mean, come on, man. I understand you got your defense, you're grabbing, you're trying to get a guy down, except, but at some point it becomes like, wait a second, is this something you like teach? Is this something you consistently do? That was annoying, no doubt about it. Brian, thank you for the super chat. October and MVP talk. Drink. Let's get a Lombardi. Brian, I'm with you, buddy. I have tried to stay out of it for the most part, although it was fun watching Russell Wilson throw a completely boneheaded interception last night to maybe temper and quiet the, oh, Russell Wilson is the MVP over Aaron Rodgers talk, because come on, let's be serious. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. How much has Patrick practiced at center? He's under contract and could replace Lindsley, move Turner in at guard, and we have Wagner at right tackle. Nathan, let's beat the Buccaneers. But yes, you are correct. Patrick has played at center. He has practiced there. He moves over to center whenever Lindsley has been hurt the last 2 years and played pretty damn well. The highest compliment I can give him. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's playing as good as Lindsley, because Corey Lindsley is playing out of his fucking mind this season. But when Lindsley has had to exit the last 2 years, whether it was last year, the few times it's happened this year, you haven't even noticed. You haven't even really seen any kind of change in the offense. They haven't had to do anything different. They've just continued to run the offense. And that is a major testament to the job that Lucas Patrick does when he has to step in there. Let's give EQ a standing ovation for his next catch. We've been so patient. Justin, be nice. I know, it's frustrating, especially he was so tantalizing his rookie year. And then to get hurt in that third preseason game last season, and now to have him on IR. But hopefully he'll be back. Maybe, hey, who knows? Maybe even this week. Although I do think it's a week early still. Oh, no. This should be the week he's able to come off. I think, has he missed three games? He's missed three games while on IR. So this could be the week. I doubt it is, but we'll see. Mike McCarthy definitely knows how to give a post-game talk after his QB goes out for the season. Oh, Corey, don't bring up. Why you got to bring up bad memories? Don't do that. I, for one, am excited to see Martin take the field. Week 7 for a rookie will be a true test. I mean, if he's back by then, don't forget. I mean, these are all estimations. He could be, as far as timelines go, he could be out longer than that, for all we know. But, yeah, I'm excited to get him out there, excited to see what he can do. He certainly had a great camp and showed like looked like he belonged, no doubt about it. Remember, we drafted some quality offensive line as well. We could get some. We could let some contracts go. Okay, why are people talking contracts? Yo, yes, of course they drafted Hanson as a center. He could step in, etc. I don't care. Corey Lindsley's playing balling out this year. One of the best centers in the league. One of the best centers in the game. That's all I care about. The future will take care of itself when we get there. And guess what? Brian makes those decisions. We don't have to. Let's just cheer for the team, man. Oh, Dave. Oh, people. See, why is Facebook so much more negative than YouTube? This is so fascinating to me. So now we got David saying, Justin Pinto, I'm imagining you mean EQ, because this is not something I've ever said. He actually called me out because I called him a desperation dependency, saying, I love how every comment you make about me is negative. Seems as though I was right. Cut him already. Cut him? Why would you cut EQ? That makes zero sense. He's on a dirt cheap contract. And everyone's always talking about how they need wide receivers or they don't have no wide receiver depth. So when he comes back, you will have
wide receiver depth.
It's amazing. Fans are just so, you are negative, man. He's right. David, thanks for the super chat. Zimmer going for two in the third quarter is exactly why you don't chase points too early. If he kicks the extra point, a field goal at the end wins the game. A whole lot of ifs and buts and chicken and nuts, man. Kyle 13, thanks for the super chat. You think Turner's knee is good now after the bye? We'll see. I hope so. Certainly got some rest. So one would hope. What are Summer's deficiencies and how does he overcome them? Good question, Brandy. I mean, the biggest deficiency is the consistency when it comes to tackling. There's zero doubt about it, and it hasn't changed from last summer, which is we saw a guy sideline to sideline. He's got great range. But, yeah, just the ability to wrap up and get a guy to the ground with consistency. And sometimes that's overrunning guys. Sometimes that's not arriving in balance. And that is stuff to an extent that you can drill. But ultimately, it kind of looks like he is who he is. Now, maybe, again, throughout the year, he's going to be playing now. He's got time on the field. He's getting real reps. So hopefully that helps round him into shape. But, yeah, to me, that's the number one thing that jumps out. Jennifer, happy Monday. How are you? I can't open Facebook on Sundays. It's Hot Take Nation. Barnes is a stud. Freddie, I'll tell you what, he is exciting to watch and a real find. I mean, I don't know, stud, that depends on your mileage may vary as far as definitions go. But yeah, he's exciting to watch and he really looks like a player. He's got range. He's got physicality. Seems to be a good tackler, decent tackler. Yeah, they have a real diamond in the rough there. I'm excited to watch him continue to develop. Craig, thanks for the super chat. Which is the bigger challenge against Tampa, run or pass D? You mean their run or pass D? Well, I think the whole equation changes with Vita Vea out of the picture. He is lost for the season. He got hurt in Chicago. He was playing at an all-pro level. There's no doubt about it. And I do think they are going to have to change some of the things they want and like to do on defense. You know, they obviously run everything every NFL team does, but they were very much dominant up front in no small part because of Vay, and they allowed them to work with only four guys rather than having to send numbers, linebackers, safeties, corners, what have you. I think that equation may change. Now, most NFL teams, lots of defensive coordinators, you know, the next man up mentality, they try to continue utilizing the calls they have been making. But if the Packers are able to take advantage of it early, you may see that change. They may need to send pressure. But to me, that changes the whole equation on defense for the Buccaneers. Do you think the league is being 100% transparent with regards to COVID testing results? It seems skeptical to me. You mean they're saying they've got more than they actually do? Because that's the only thing I can imagine that they're fibbing about. Why would they give all the, I mean, have you seen the internet every single time there's any kind of mention of positive COVID tests? It's like, shut it all down. The world is ending. I don't think, you know, I don't know, man. No, I don't. I think they are shockingly transparent. They've been way more transparent than I ever thought they would be. And look, the one thing they haven't said is, you know, yeah, there's no fucking way we're shutting down the season. Yeah, of course, they're never going to say that, but that is the truth. I mean, they would throw you and I out there in uniform before they'd shut it down. They're delivering for their broadcast partners, and that is to the tune of millions and millions, if not billions of dollars. And yes, games are going to be moved. I have zero doubt there will probably end up being a week 18 where they have to, you know, schedule makeup games, etc. But these games are going to get played. And that's kind of why I think they're being as transparent as they are when it comes to the COVID numbers, because, you know, I just think it's funny, too, because everyone wants to talk about, oh, the NBA had no positive tests and they were in a bubble. Well, yeah, they're like, you know, what, 11 man benches, you know, with a handful of coaches. The NFL literally has like hundreds of people that would need to be quarantined for each single team. Hundreds of people. And then where are these games played? Someone's going to have to travel at some point. You know, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Or you're going to live in a hotel and there by a stadium, a number of hotels, how many hotels, how many bubbles are we talking here? And then people are coming in and out as far as referees, as far as game day ops, as far as the hotel staff, all those people are staying in the bubble too. All those separate bubble, never going to happen. Maybe for the playoffs, because you've only got a handful of teams, there's not a full league to deal with. And I know they've spoken about that, but yeah, a bubble in the NFL is just not a viable alternative, which brings me to the point of the NFL is plowing through. There's money to be made and everybody's watching. It's the number one show on TV each and every week. And then we get a handful of people going, oh my God, they're playing in a pandemic. Yeah, because everybody's watching. You know, there's so much money on the table. They're never going to shut it down. So, yeah, I don't see them being less transparent than they need to be. Jeezy Baby 43. That's a hell of a name. Thanks for the super chat. Bears suck. Vikings suck. And I don't even think about the Lions like Don Draper. I feel sorry for you. I don't think about you at all. I love that scene. I don't care if the season goes into April, play all the games. You know, they will. We'll probably have a Super Bowl in March at this point. Will the Packers come out of the bye firing all cylinders? Yes. All right, guys, I got to get going. Can't thank you enough for all the super chats, for all the interaction, for talking Packers. Love it each and every day here at Cheesehead TV. Please do hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel. And if you're so inclined, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon page, patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. Help support everything we do, including live episodes of Packer Transplants each and every Wednesday. We'll be back, Corey and I, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern. And then, of course, 5+ hours of live streaming for each and every game, including this upcoming Sunday against the Buccaneers. It's going to be a ton of fun. Thank you so much for all the support. Hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody.